All right, welcome to episode 59 of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Hello, Mr. Moritz.
Episode 59. Whoa,
episode 59. For those who are just tuning in for their very first time, welcome.
Hello.
This is Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. It's nice to be in your ear. We normally interview creative people from around the world. This week, it's just me and Mr. Mo, but we still have a great show. A lot of cool things to talk about this week that I want to get to. But just before we start, for those, I noticed something today. I went to our program on Apple Podcasts, and we have a good handful of very lovely 5-star reviews. And for those who have listened to the show and done that, I want to say thank you so much. Because if you enjoy this show and you do something like that, like giving us a good rating or a comment or a review, it really helps new listeners find our show. So thank you for doing it if you have already. And if you haven't and you enjoy the show, go on there. It just takes a minute. Give us a little rating. Really helps new listeners find the show. So thank you so much for that. If you want to financially support this show, you can go to patreon.com/JordanPrince and get early access to live shows that we're going to hold on the Clubhouse app, for example. We're trying to get some gear together to break into video podcasting, live streaming, so on and so forth. And that would be a cool place to start if you want to be an artsy fartsy fan. And if you or someone you know is an artsy-fartsy immigrant and you would like to write us a comment or a question or even try and be on the show, because we have a lot of new guests lined up for this year, you can hit us up on Instagram at artsy-fartsy-immigrants. Mr. Bat, you weren't with us last week, so how has your week been so far?
Super busy, super busy. This could evolve to the busiest 3 weeks of the year, but so far I enjoy it.
So why don't you tell people, because you're really into, you're in sports broadcasting, and what's going on that's taking up so much time?
Like, the thing is, I mentioned this quite often here, that I do this winter sports podcast together with this athlete that is from the same town where I am, Oberstdorf, the Allgäu. And yesterday, the Nordic Ski World Championships started in Oberstdorf, so it's kind of a career highlight for him, but obviously there are a lot of struggles with Big Rony. And
sure, yeah.
Sadly, I didn't get accreditation. I wasn't allowed on site. Like a permission, yeah. As a journalist, because they also cut spaces there. And so I have to do this from Munich, and I've been in Oberstdorf for last week to do quite some interviews before this thing starts. And now we're going to do a kind of daily show. We'll have some cool stuff on social media, et cetera, et cetera. But basically we're, sometimes I'm a one-man show. Most of the time I'm a one-man, one-woman show. But we we do everything ourselves. And so it is quite busy, but it is this one project I really love working on. And so I still enjoy it. I tend to forget more things, but I still enjoy it.
That's cool, man. That's really fun. And how long does it go on for? Like, is everything done now or?
No. Like, the real competitions start when this show comes out. And the last competition is on Sunday, March 7th. So, like, yeah, 12 days or something.
So, there's a whole other week. Oh, yeah. Wow.
12 days or something.
Oh, that's crazy, man. That's really crazy.
And it's super interesting. And I want to make also, I'm working on this idea to dive deeper into this story afterwards. Because besides sports, this is a very interesting topic for me as a journalist. Because, like, it's not like this huge, what do you call it, sports association, which feeds from all kinds of sponsors, et cetera, tickets, et cetera. Like in America, where you have like big companies like the NBA or NFL, that host mm-hmm. an event and organize all by themselves and finance it by themselves, etc., etc. But like with events like this that are huge, like the last World Championship that took place in Oberstdorf had like 400,000 or 350,000 spectators in Oberstdorf over
that's humongous
over
wow.
like 10 days. So it's quite huge, but there is not this one organization that kind of centralistic organizes these events, and but it is organized by this one association, but also by the town itself and like the district and like the federal state. So there's like public money in it, or like money from taxes, like, obviously.
Like state funding. Yeah, state government funding.
Yeah. And there are a lot of things going on, and many people saying, hey, why is this taking place? We're having real struggles with Corona, and right. all the hotels want to have some form of business this summer. And they say, okay, now, even if there are no spectators, there's like nearly 5,000 people in town at the moment, only for this event. And they say, like, if we have get in struggles with virus mutations or something now, that could cost us the whole touristic summer business for all Oberstdorf, etc.
It's a huge risk for them to have that.
So there's like a lot of controversial stuff going on, and
that's interesting.
I want to dive deeper into that, besides what happens on the on the sports sides.
So what are these, like, when thousands of spectators come to a region to see a tournament, but they're not allowed to spectate that tournament? What do they actually do? Like, besides filling the space, like, what does a spectator do at this winter sport place when they can't go watch the game?
They stay home. Yeah.
Well, I thought you said that there's still spectators like flooding to the region.
No, there's like, and that's the thing. Like, you don't have spectators flooding to the region, but like tourists or people that at least, I don't know, escape lockdown from cities like Munich, Stuttgart, Augsburg, etc., for a day and want to go hiking or whatever in Oberstdorf.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the number I mentioned, those are only like these nearly 5,000 are the athletes, all coaches and staff, etc.
Oh, and volunteers. Okay. Okay. That's not okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's actually like for them to have it the way that they have it right now, and the way that the way that the tourism is working there, it is really putting a risk towards future like hospitality industry opportunities for the summer.
It could, like it we could. We don't know it. Yeah. If everything runs safely and there are no COVID issues, then not. Mm-hmm. But still, the thing is, because like Oberstdorf invests money in this tournament, but now that it only takes place without fans, Oberstdorf doesn't earn any money with it. Like, all restaurants, hotels don't earn any money, cannot feed from this huge event where a lot of people come and stay in hotels, eat at restaurants, drink beers at the stadiums, etc., etc. Like, the local economy doesn't get anything out of it. And so now there's a movement like, okay, they are still hosting this without fans. So the only one that profits are like TV stations and the international federation. But the local economy doesn't get anything out of it. And so there's a movement that wants a second world championship, like at the nearest possible point, like could be in 5 years, no, in 6 years, where they can do the whole thing again with fans that stay there and spend money there. Like it's
6 years.
Yeah, this all might sound pretty niche, but the thing is that this whole region really lives from tourism. Like that makes so much for the local economy. It is why this is a pretty wealthy region.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so those are the things I try to get more into with this other podcast I'm doing just to sum this up, like topics that are not only, I don't know, it's not only an analysis of an athlete's performance or something, but you get to topics where sports affects like politics, like social,
right. Social and political issues,
yeah, exactly.
And it paints a bigger picture than just the stats of an athlete.
That's the idea, yeah.
Oh man, that's super interesting, and I can imagine, like, for the German speaking people who are interested in sports and how that affects politics. Man, that just sounds crazy cool how that's all changing right now. And you should go listen to She Happens, the podcast from M94.5 from Moritz Bachada. No, but that's really, really interesting, man. And when you're down there and you're trying to figure out information regarding how Corona and sports are kind of colliding and how that's affecting like the political and social landscape in that region, who would you say is giving you your best information? Like when you are interviewing people or looking for people to interview, who's giving you the best information to solve your or to answer your questions?
Yeah, and that's a tough one because Corona also affects this, and obviously you can't. I can't drive down there with a camera in my car and a microphone and shoot interviews. So everything over, or most of the interviews that can't take place outside with a lot of distance, etc., only over Zoom, etc. So that's an issue, and that might affect how many people you can get for interviews, because there still are some people that could be interesting for interviews that probably are not, like older people that aren't capable of doing a Zoom interview, probably having to record themselves, etc. You know what I mean? And like in general, it's and that's the thing. Like I'm still working with kind of indicators for certain topics, but I didn't get that much actual information on certain topics. Like I talked to many people. Like I talked to Mario from Hörbar,
right?
Like who is so like basically this guy owns the only club there, and it's always was running good, and it really is a kind of it really is the thing in Oberstdorf, and it's not only a nightclub, but also you already played a show there.
It's like it's the thing,
they,
for sure.
They sometimes have like art vernissages there, etc. And in the summer, we talked about those live streams I hosted. Those were for Hörbar, and yeah, he always got creative during Corona to do something. That brings attention to him and still a little money in. And at the moment, he has a cash button drive-in in Oberstdorf. Like it's imagine like a typical, I don't know, drive-in,
like a food truck, like a street truck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and the thing is, he has this cafe Bone and Clyde, which is an old gas station. And now where the gas station is, under the roof, they built this kind of hut where they sell the cash bus, and it's basic food drive-in. It's super cool. And so I talked to people like him that have a lot of conversations with a lot of people because, I don't know, they sell lunch to people or whatever. Like those people in little communities that get all the information because they talk to so many people over the day.
Yeah, they get that echo chamber of repeated information.
And and the thing is, it's obviously not always only information. You also have a lot of gossip.
It's also rumors.
Yeah, rumors, yeah. Gossip, etc.
Definitely, definitely.
But yeah, but that's the point where I'm at right now. And for like, while this world championship is still going, we still focus more on what happens sports wise, but yeah, I want to go dive deeper into this spring, like when the attention is gone, when the TV trucks are gone, when the athletes are gone,
yeah,
and then dive deeper into this topic, yeah.
But that's super cool.
That's what I do at the moment. But I also want to talk about you and what's going on for you because there's also awesome stuff, and I'm a little bit jealous about one thing.
Well, I want to get to that. I wrote that down for sure, and I do want to talk about it because now I know that I can, and it's all happening really fast, and there's a lot of stuff to catch up. But just before I forgot about it, because I just jotted it down, something that I thought was pretty cool, and you kind of just mentioned it with Hörbar, which is doing this like Käse Spätzle Kasch. You say it differently, right? You have the dialect Kaschpatzen. Käsespätzle. And so that's just a certain type of regional food, but the fact that they turn like a restaurant, cafe, bar into this food truck alternative, I've been seeing that a lot in Munich too. Just down the street from my apartment, if you go from Au, like Untergiesing, and you go towards Maria Hilfplatz,
yeah.
If you're going across there, there's a Wirtshaus called Wirtshaus in der Au.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, and for those that maybe don't hear these words, maybe they're not the right pronunciation and stuff, but basically like a Wirtshaus is kind of like an older Bavarian restaurant that has like beer from the tap, and they have like traditional foods like the knödel, like the potatoes and the schnitzel and Käsespätzle and like all them good traditional foods. Yeah, all that good. Yeah, and it's really, you can always guarantee to be a very heavy meal and like swollen bellies, and usually, I mean, normally you're there in the summer and you're eating outside and you just drink a lot of good beer, and it's a good time. And there's a Wirtshaus by my place, like a 5-minute walk. And they've basically they've closed the restaurant and they've transformed everything into this red food truck right outside the door. And I don't know if you've seen it, Mo, but it's just across the street from Café Bla on Lilienstrasse.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty cool. I went on a few walks in the last couple of weeks towards that area, like following along the river, and it's pretty impressive. I mean, they have a really cool selection, like daily specials, but I've seen that in a few different places, and I think that's a pretty cool alternative when you can't afford to have a full staff and you still want to try and sell food and make some income and try and pay off some of your bills and stuff, to have a food truck. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And when some of these places in Munich started doing this, for me it was kind of exciting that restaurants that would, like, good restaurants that wouldn't, in pre-COVID, that wouldn't offer like home delivery or anything, or takeaway,
right?
And kind of do this, and it was kind of exciting because you could get the good food from this restaurant at your place. And I don't know, it was end of first lockdown, so in spring, when there's also a great Wirtshaus around the corner here. And they also had had great food, and they, outside the door, they made Steckerlfisch. Do you know that?
Oh, is that the grilled fish?
Yeah, the
on
grilled
the
fish on the sticks, traditional, yeah. Bavarian way. And we went there on a Sunday and thought, like, yeah, today we're gonna do it. We're gonna get a whole duck at this Wirtshaus.
The whole duck?
We got a whole duck. Like, normally when you
a roasted duck?
Yeah, like when you eat a duck at the Bavarian restaurant, you normally can choose like a smaller portion, like a quarter, or the bigger portion,
like half.
Half the duck, yeah. And we got the whole thing, and a lot of knödel and Blaukraut.
Oh my god.
And good sauce. It was crazy. Wow. So yeah, this was for a short time, this was kind of exciting that restaurants would do this, but then you start to think again, yeah, they are doing this because they somehow need to survive.
They have to, yeah. That's something I'm really gonna miss when Corona has moved on, or you know, if it does, but when things are more or less back to normal, I'm gonna really miss these finer restaurants not delivering or not being available for pickup. I mean, there's so many, like, you know, when you're during this pandemic, you, to kind of keep yourself from going insane, you know, you have to try and make normal, like, mundane things much more special for yourself to feel as if you're doing something because you can't go to the cinema and you can't go to the water park or the trampoline park or whatever. And so when it comes to ordering food, yeah, those are the things that I was doing. But when you want to order food, you know, like you, let's say like once every couple of weeks, in my experience, you know, we would pick like a very fancy place or a very like exotic place. And what I'm going to miss is that when things are back to normal, those places are not going to be available for pickup or delivery anymore because so many fancy restaurants are only in-house dining because it's just like a higher class experience. No. But there's so many fantastic, like high quality Ethiopian places and French places and Spanish places that I just love. And we can still get all the food delivered.
Yeah. And obviously in Munich, you have a lot of very good like Greek and Italian places.
Oh man, I mean, just down the street from me, there's Amos, which they have this great gyros mataxa, mm-hmm. which is so creamy and spicy and it's so delicious. And then what's that other one just off Humboldtstrasse? I forgot it.
Lucullus,
thank you. Yes, that's also a fantastic one. And they're all just so close and they can just bring it right over and... Oh, I love that. I love that. I'm going to really hate when those can't deliver anymore.
Yeah, but
it'll be like a bittersweet thing.
Probably like the takeaway places. Like probably some of them, because that's something I think about a lot. Like... Do necessarily all things we have developed to get through this crisis have to begun after the crisis? And I mean this
it's a good question.
In so many different fields and with so many different topics, you have this, like, especially in Germany. I can't speak for other countries, but so many companies have seen for the first time that home office is a thing. And it's not like people wanna get off work, but home office works, and this could change quite a lot for many people being able to work at jobs that they probably would not have been without, like especially for many women, etc., regarding pregnancies, whatever. And but maybe also with the takeaway stops at good restaurants. Maybe some of them will stay. Like Marion Oberstoff, what he does now, like until the end of winter, he has this mobile cash button drive-in. But he said, have you ever been to Bohnen & Clyde, this cafe?
No, I never went there.
When it opened in summer, you have to go there. It's super nice. Like
It opened in 2020? Summer 2020?
2019.
Oh, okay, no. But, I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, that was the thing. I think like September 2019, but in the winter they were closed. But no matter what, it's a super nice cafe, and it's basically has barely any room indoors. Like there's only two tiny tables indoors because it's this old gas station, like a classic, like, and those are pretty same to the US, probably just smaller, like. Can you imagine from I don't know, movie scenes, of classic 50s gas station? A small cabin, basically, and those huge roofs. And so indoor there's not that much room, but under the huge roof, there are a lot of sweet, tiny tables. In the summer, it's great. We had awesome barbecue parties there last summer.
Oh, man.
But he said, okay, this probably works. This my kind of food truck will stay. Like I have another like a ship container or something he has. I'm not sure, but something bigger mm-hmm. that he can really build a comfortable kitchen in, and that could stay besides this cafe, just to have something, because they don't offer food within this cafe. And he said, yeah, but we had those special events like those barbecue nights where. They brought someone who grilled awesome stuff. There were so many.
Is that Fetus?
No, it was a butcher from Hindelang.
Ah, okay.
Who's also a certified master griller. I'm not sure, something like that.
That's such a cool job to be.
Yeah.
I'm the master griller.
and he saw that there's the potential, and so yeah, that is an example that probably some of these places will stay after Corona if it makes for good profit for
I mean, imagine if you have these fresh alternatives to try and keep a business running during a pandemic. Why not, when things go back to normal, offer like a split staff sort of situation where some of the people run the restaurant as they used to have it, and they have a small portion of people that still run this, you know, food truck or this delivery part or this, because I mean, that's even more business, because some people, it will take longer for them to adjust back to normal life, me included.
It'll
as soon as they say like, okay, well, starting May 23rd, there's going to be concerts again for every single person who wants to go. There's going to be the trampoline park is open, the water park is open, the cinemas are open. It's going to take me a few months to readjust to human interaction again.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I just walk along the river and there's a few groups of people, I'm judging them. I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm looking at them and I'm wondering like, well, no wonder the numbers are always so bad. And, you know, the numbers get better for 1 week in Germany and you're already out here in groups of 15. And, you know, I get so suspicious and like, I feel so, whenever I even go on a walk with a friend after about an hour or so, my interactions are kind of dry. I'm already like, unless they're a really close friend, I'm already kind of like, oh man, I haven't like talked one-on-one with someone who's not in my closest circle in like so long. So it'll take a long time before I readjust to society the way that I was before. I have a hermit inclination, and it's only been heightened since we've been in this pandemic. So, I think they should keep these sort of availabilities open because it's good business.
Yeah,
I think.
And
so.
I would really love if Munich would develop a proper street food culture.
Oh like, man, now, wouldn't so
many,
that be great?
So many good places. Like, and maybe you're just not in the. I don't know, in the mood for eating at the restaurant, but you meet with some people at the Isar, whatever, and you can still grab awesome food from a very good place and enjoy it outdoors.
I mean, if this was America, there would be, at least in a sanctioned part of the river, there would be like a food truck permitted area. You know, you'd pay a rental fee. They'd have like marked off spots, and like just along the river, you'd have like a taco stand. You'd have like tapas. You'd have sausages. You'd have like a burger thing. You'd have like one with just different varieties of fries.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like the festivals, like the music festivals that you go to, and they have like a row of food trucks.
No, yeah.
That's how they would have it, at least at some part around the river, because people just sit there and they drink all night, and they're at some point they get hungry, and you could really keep that energy flowing if you could just be like, hey man, you want a taco? I'm going to grab one from the stand. You know, the same way that they have the people who come by, take your empty bottles and offer you a fresh one.
Yeah.
That's like its own industry. You could have the food trucks right there. I mean, it would just be such a cool, much cooler city if they offered things like that.
No.
You know?
Jordan, if everything fails for us in this kind of media business, we'll just start a food truck.
I would be so down. And I know my British friend Ben is a great cook, so I know he'd probably be down to help set us up. I wanted to show you something. This is a very artsy fartsy experience. So I got a message a few days ago on Instagram. I won't say from who because it's someone that I don't know, but basically, I told a story on my other show on Ego FM, and I've told it on here before, about how when you're touring around in Germany, when you, let's say that you're in Munich and you're going to go to the next city, you're going to go to Leipzig, for example, the people in Leipzig don't like Munich, and the people in Leipzig don't like, let's say that you're going to Berlin next, they'll say like, oh, you won't like Berlin, or like, oh, Munich, yeah, that's such a boring city. And then you get to Berlin and Berlin's like, oh, you came from Leipzig? Oh, we don't like that city. That city sucks. But if you say you're going to go to Frankfurt next, they're going to go, oh, you're going to hate Frankfurt. Frankfurt sucks. Like every city, every time I've toured around in Germany, every city doesn't like the previous or the following one. They just think theirs is the best one. And that's really, really common. And so I told that story before, and then I got a message from a German lady on Instagram after I had this this show. I think it was last Sunday. And in the moment that she's trying to make fun of Germans for thinking that, she tries to make a joke, but she basically becomes the joke herself because she tries to say that no one does that, but then she does it. So I'll just explain. She says, she says, "I'm from Augsburg. Maybe you already heard about it. It's the cooler little sister of Munich, and it's just like 40 minutes away by train. I know Munich, and like you told on one show, people don't like the other cities in Germany. But wait, that's not right. It's just the fact that nobody in Germany likes Munich." I think that's so funny that she... That's just one part of a very long message. But basically, she tries to say that that's not true that people don't like other cities, but no one likes Munich.
But that's but that's a common thing as well. Like, there's a lot of Munich,
a
lot of Munich hate going on in Germany. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. I mean, she goes on to say other things like, "Oh, that must just be the hardest city to start in as an immigrant," and blah 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 blah. She was really trying to be nice, but I just think that one line about that no, people don't hate on other cities. We just all hate Munich. It's just the same. Yeah. She fell into the category.
Dude, she started with, "I'm from Augsburg, the cooler little sister of Munich."
The cooler little sister of Munich.
Like, do you want to like empower or discriminate your own city?
And what's so funny is I know that if I had a room full of like 20 German people from Munich, and I were to say that she said Augsburg is the cooler little sister, at least nine of the 10 people from Munich would be like, "Oh, is she kidding me? Augsburg sucks," you know?
Now, Augsburg's pretty cool. The same. But what is a kind of, I don't know, running gag, I mean, especially with people that studied in Munich, etc., is that basically all people at some point move from Munich to Berlin because Munich is so boring. And it's this kind of cliche, but it also fulfills itself so often. Like, I know many people having moved, or people that will move from Munich to Berlin.
Yeah,
and probably they're gonna say it.
I mean, I literally know people moving right now.
No,
I have a friend who's from Canada, and I used to work with her, and she's just so done with Munich, and she hated it so much that she was considering going back home. But she's in a relationship with a German guy, and so then it was like talked about that, okay, maybe we can just try Berlin. So they're gonna go to Berlin, and now they're looking for apartments there. So I hope it works out. I mean, I've definitely had that consideration a ton of times, like, should I go to, like, I love Hamburg is so cool, and Berlin is really cool, but it's just very different, it's very big, I don't know. But then again, I'm in a very special circumstance, you know. I'm close to the south, close to my in-laws, so it's an interesting situation. I'm not sure. But every time that I think about leaving Munich, or that I would need to leave Munich, there's always like one more thing kind of, you know, attaching itself to me. Yeah. There's one more tether coming out of the ocean to be like, no, not yet. You know, like, grabbing on. For example, the thing you wanted to talk about.
I'm at the point, I never really hated Munich or something. Okay, now I think we just had a kind of Skype overlay. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, we had a big delay there. Sorry.
I kind of hated Munich, but I'm at a point right now where things are going in a direction, like, regarding my job, or whatsoever. Plus the fact that it has taken me so long to like Munich. Like, I found it super shitty for, we talked about this, I guess for the first year or year and a half.
Yeah.
And it took me quite a while to really feel comfortable here. But now I'm at a point where I feel super comfortable, and everything is kind of set up right. And so, like, I'm at the moment where I don't I still think, okay, I like so many other cities, but I'm in this more, I don't know, cozy position of like, okay, there at the moment there's nothing that would make me move somewhere else. Like, I don't know, for the next year or three, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same with me. There's just always another tether. There's another reason why to not go. And that's...
But are you happy in Munich at the moment? Never asked this.
Yeah, I am right now. I think that's it's one of those things where the longer that you live somewhere, the harder it is to leave, even if you don't really like it that much. Unless it's just like a terrible, awful, every day is a nightmare sort of situation. But I look at, for example, our friend Mark, who's from the very north. His family's north. He loves cities like Hamburg, which is very far north. He listens to Deutschlandfunk Kultur, which comes from the north, and he's just really, really into that region and those states up there, and he just vibes a lot with the north. But he's been in Munich for 20 years. And whenever we talk about what his future plans would be or what he thinks, what he might do if he would try something else, I mean, I think it would be very, very hard for him. And I think the longer that we stay here, the harder it's going to be for us, of course. You know?
Like, what is getting harder?
To move somewhere after you live somewhere that long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think, like, our solution would be that, like, something that we talk about a lot is staying in Munich as a home base, but trying to spend... you know, somewhere around 2 months at least every year back in New Orleans. That's something that I genuinely, with all my heart, kind of need to do. I mean, I know that you're listening, Mom, and I don't mean just 2 months in New Orleans without you guys. I mean 2 months in America. But, you know, just when you think about having a family and you think about what you really want to do as you get older and you think about the jobs and the responsibilities that tether you to your... to the city that you live in. I mean, the fact of the matter is that I don't always think that Munich is exciting, but it has some very, very good people. And I think there's been a lot more opportunities and jobs that I enjoy here than I thought there would be. And if I can balance that with living in America for at least 2 months every year, then I think I really could be happy with that.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I think that would be a totally fair balance there.
No.
You know, and then, you know, but also I think we forget that right now no one's traveling. And I didn't see my family or friends in like a year and a half or something. So I'm jonesing for my next fix, you know? I'm sitting here with a bunch of empty needles around me and I got nothing to shoot up, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, and...
Yeah. But, I mean, sometimes I love Munich. That's the thing. It's like, it's a totally fine city, and I realize more and more that I live here that I really enjoy living in a city. I could never live... And when I say this, I am definitely not talking downward on small towns at all. I come from one, but I just don't think I could live again in one. It's just not in my interests anymore. So I really think I would have to stay in a city at least the size of Munich, but then be able to travel, you know, like when concerts are back, I love to stay on the road, you know, for a few weeks. I want to go to America more. I want my friends to come here and us go stay in some vacation apartment. You know, I think that's, I'm probably just pent up from not doing those things. And we used to do that stuff. I mean, we traveled a lot the last few years for concerts and for vacations. We were always planning something like every 2 months we would do something, even if it's just a weekend trip. And right now, the last thing that we did was several months ago, we went to Prague for like 2 days. You know, that's just nothing.
No. Yeah, sure.
But what about you? Like, do you love Munich? Are you like really, really into Munich? Or because, you know, you're really tethered down in Munich now.
Yeah,
I'd say.
And I thought about this, but I wouldn't say I totally love Munich, but I really love the situation I'm in right now and all the circumstances and that also means by some part the city you live in. And I love a lot, like there's a lot of things in Munich I love, and there's but it's not that like I feel this is the one city I want to live in, and that but it's a situation, and the situation also, I don't, like you said, probably I would not say it gets harder to move somewhere if you have lived in one city for a long time, but I would say it gets easier to probably either really love or really hate a place the longer you live there, and all the circumstances that change, etc. So I'm really happy with the situation I'm in at the moment, and I know that there are some reasons that really I really have to take into account when I think about, okay, what are my next years going to look like? That for the, I don't know, next 1, 2, 3 years, it totally makes sense to stay here in Munich. And I'm totally fine with it. I love so many things here, but I don't feel that some form of bound to Munich.
For sure, for sure. But when you imagine yourself, let's say, if you can think this far ahead, because it's so hard these days, but you know, in like 10 or 15 years, do you see yourself needing to reside in a city, even if that city is not Munich? Or do you see yourself being able to say, I'm happy to have my career and my partner and my life as it is, but I want to live closer to my family. I want to live closer back down to the South. Like, where do you see yourself in that respect? Because for me, I think it has to stay a city, I think.
Yeah, and the thing is, I realized that again when I stayed in Oberstdorf all December, and in first lockdown, like Tony and I were in Oberstdorf for like 2 months or 3 months, and I realized, okay, I still really like it there, etc. And if you, I don't know, if I would have to. Like, there is some reason I would have to move home. I would be totally fine with that. And I really like living in a city. And I think, so it's not like with you where I say, where I would have to say, okay, there's this one option I really like and the other one without looking down on anyone or something, but it's just not a deal for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I could be completely fine with both, but if I am free to choose, I think within the next 10 to 15 years, I see myself rather living in a city.
Do you see it, like, do you have a city in mind that you think, like, sparkles your interest occasionally? For me, it's Hamburg, kind of.
Yeah, Hamburg, of course. I'm not that sure about Berlin.
Me either.
Like I really like Berlin, and it's a cool city, but could be nice, but
it's almost like a little, for me, in my opinion, it's almost a little too much sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like Hamburg is a big city and there's a lot going on, but there's still kind of a relaxed feeling about it. And I don't know why, maybe it's just my own experiences in Berlin, but it's a very big city, and I feel like it's, in a sense, kind of like the New York or the LA of Germany, which is a big overstatement there, but in the sense that people feel the need to go there to be someone.
Yeah.
And when that is the mentality of people's, when that's the mentality of the people who go there, like that's their reason to go there, there's a lot more opportunity for loss, like creative loss or holding on to something that isn't there anymore, or feeling kind of lost without that. And that can be really, imagine walking through like the main streets of LA and you see these failed actors and failed musicians who are doing like dressing up like Spider-Man and taking photos with people outside Universal Studios. And you just think like, I really, really don't want to go there and eventually be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Berlin shows me like the failures I could have, and that's kind of scary.
Okay, and I didn't make this experience, but I can totally understand it. And yeah, so I'm not sure about Berlin. I think it could be totally fine for me to live there for a while. I say it could be fine for me so often, but
I mean, it would be fun. Berlin is fun. It would be fun. I love going there for concerts. It
also would be fun, obviously, but I don't know. I always also think about what like when the place I live at, what's around it, or why is the location probably special? And with Munich, you have it with the Alps, like short way to the mountains, so many great things to enjoy. Like in Hamburg,
the lakes, the nature.
Yeah, in Hamburg, you have the ocean. You don't have the ocean right at the border of Hamburg, but you're close to it, just like with Munich. And in Berlin, what's around Berlin? Fucking Brandenburg. Like a federal state that I know so little about, and
I know nothing about.
The thing is, what's happening in Brandenburg? Like, you have some cool lakes, but everyone goes there, and that's the thing, because I feel like I really like to live in cities, but from time to time I need this sort of
escape.
And like in so many other cities, you could have this, and you could have this escape to cool places or to other cool cities. Like if you see like Cologne, for example, I like Cologne. And when you live there, and I don't know, you want to go somewhere else for a weekend. You have so many other cities around. You're in the Netherlands, in Belgium, in France, pretty fast, et cetera, et cetera.
That's true.
And like, where do you go from Berlin? Like, in a, I don't know, 300-kilometer range.
I mean, unless
Leipzig,
you are
probably,
trying
and
to...
And then people tell you that they hate Berlin.
Yeah, Leipzig, yeah, that's true. Leipzig, or I guess crossing over to, like Warsaw or something? I'm not sure.
No,
but
that's super far away.
Oh, that is kind of far. Yeah, you're right. Leipzig is closer to that. But, yeah, I'm not very geographically inclined. But what I'm thinking about is, you know, just on that topic, I'm not a very like nature intuitive person. I'm not the person who wakes up on a Saturday or a Sunday morning and thinks like, okay, let's get up, let's put on these certain jackets and these certain shoes, and let's go out to the mountains. And if we hike up to this peak by noon, then we can get a beer there. Like, I do that with people who want to do it when I'm on a vacation with them.
Yeah.
You know, like when I got nothing else to do and it's a fun exercise, like, okay, yeah, let's go do it. Cool. But it's not something that I think of and want to do. It's just not my nature. And the difference is that although that's not something that I encourage myself to do or that I wake up wanting to do, when I finally at some point do want it, or someone in Munich asks if I want to do it, it's so easy. You know, I mean, just the other day we took a walk. We said, hey, you know what, let's screw off for the rest of this day. Like we cut like some weekday, like essentially in half or whatever. And we just said, let's go to Heidhausen and let's go to this French bakery and get some really nice homemade like croissants and pastries. And we got them and we sat in some park that I'd never been in before that was huge and beautiful, and there was kids playing and it was sunshine, and we ate these big like choco croissants with like vanilla pudding in them, and it felt so good and like kind of freeing to not be doing what you should be doing, you know, like wink wink, like you should be at work but you're just not, and it felt great.
Yeah.
And then we went home and then we like washed our hands and threw the trash away and went to the bathroom, and then we decided, you know what, now it's it was like a couple of hours later, hey, now it's lunchtime, let's like grab a sandwich, or maybe we grabbed it from earlier, but we said, let's go to the Flaucha, which is just a certain part of the river on the south side, and there's all these big sections where you can sit down, like some of them are rocks with trees and some of them are more grassy, And we just went out and we put a blanket down and we had some sandwiches. And then we just, it was really hot by chance. And we just laid down and tried to take a little nap and hung out. And, you know, that was still kind of this, a little bit of this city feeling, but it was still like this kind of in this inner city nature was very accessible.
No.
You know, like that park and the river,
but
and that area is all very like heavy with water and rocks and trees and open space. And it just felt very much like, oh, you know what? If I left this city, it would be really hard to find this kind of accessibility to nature.
And this is something pretty special about Munich, to have this, the inner city nature. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure we have dropped a side fact somewhere in the show, but the Englischer Garten, like this huge park in Munich, is the biggest inner city park of the world.
In the world.
Yeah, in the world. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's so crazy that it's bigger than Central Park in New York. I mean, it's huge.
And
it's huge.
Yeah, in general, that's something, that's one of the things I absolutely love about Munich.
Absolutely. I mean, you were saying, or maybe that's where you live now, but sometimes on Saturdays you just bike up, like, what is it, 20 minutes to some lake?
Yeah.
Or something, and you're just out of the city. You're just in the clear, and that is really special. And that's not something that I always appreciated, but nowadays I see it more and more as a really, like, cool thing to have around.
Yeah, dude, especially when you live through times like these, like, where you're forced to spend more time at the same place, and probably you're going to work and sleep and eat within the same room for like a year or two.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just wanted to, I feel like we almost kind of cruised to the end of that topic, and just to keep things rolling, there are a few things I wrote down that I wanted to talk about. And one of them would be the thing that you brought up at the beginning of the show. And so for those who heard last week's episode, I mentioned at the end that, you know, the way that technology is working right now with all these new platforms and all these new opportunities, and how things can kind of just happen. And it's a really cool world right now if you're, you know, looking for work and you're kind of stranded or bored or at home with the pandemic, and you're a creative person, and you know, you should just try all these new things, just try everything, because you never know what thing is going to stick or not. And I mentioned that some musicians and myself started this this group that meets maybe once every couple of weeks or so on this new app called Clubhouse. And Clubhouse is only for iOS users, and it's invitation only for now. And my friend Tim, our friend Tim that we talk about a lot, who's the producer of all my records, it's his group, it was his idea, and he founded it. And we talked a couple of times on this, and the way that this app works is that you can have a private conversation, just like this. Like, imagine it's just me and Mo talking, you know, in the moment that we're recording this, no one is actually hearing us. So it's like that, just a private conversation. But you can also make it live to the public. So imagine the way you're hearing it now, with maybe a good handful of people around you. You can see their photo and they can ask something in the moment. And basically, you can make a room like with a topic. And you can say, for example, the one that Tim makes that we do every couple of weeks is can musicians make a living digitally? And we talk about different platforms, different strategies, different marketing ideas, and hearing people's experiences and giving advice or writing down advice. And it's a really helpful, supportive, cool circle of interesting musicians. And the very first time that we did it was, I would say, February 12th, I think. And wow, pretty crazy, because a pretty cool thing happened, which is that we were talking on this app about something, and random people were listening in to the conversation. There was one guy, very friendly, asking a lot of good questions, and it turns out that this guy had his phone on speaker as he was participating in the group. And I was talking about something. I was mentioning that I was a moderator at this radio station, and I mentioned something that I had done or whatever. I was talking about something. And it turns out that this guy's girlfriend, who was in the same room, heard the conversation on the speakerphone, and then she joined in the conversation for a short while, listened in, and then checked back out. And that was it for then. We had a normal conversation. I didn't know anything. And then the next day, like maybe the day before Valentine's Day, I got an email from a woman named Lisa, and she's from Sony Music Germany. Now, when you're a musician and you get an email from Sony Music, there is a myriad of reasons why you think that you got this email. You have this rainbow of ideas of like, oh man, first off, am I getting sued for something? Did I do something wrong? Yeah. And then you think, oh, am I getting discovered? Is this how it happens? You know? And I read the email, and she was very friendly, and she said, hi, I'm Lisa. I guess you're wondering how I found you and what I want to talk to you about. And long story short, I was in your clubhouse, and I liked your the way you were talking, and I liked your moderation, blah, blah, blah. And basically, we have a job where we need someone to moderate a live album streaming for this very popular band. And we thought maybe you could be the one for the job. And so I wrote her back, and we had a phone call. And now since this recording, we've had several phone calls, and everything is confirmed. And now I can tell you that I don't know exactly the time yet or how the ticket system will work, but maybe I can advertise about that once I know more. But basically, I'm going to be interviewing Kings of Leon.
Ooh.
I'm going to interview
your sex
is on fire. I'm going to interview these guys in a couple of days. I don't know if it's the whole band or just some of the band. These three brothers and one cousin. And yeah, and then there's going to be like a live album listening, and I'm going to do like a roundtable discussion with her, this lady from Sony, and actually I involved my friend Tim Hecking. Tim is actually going to be a part of it now too.
Nice.
And I get paid to do the research and to do the interview and to do the moderation, and I'm so lucky that one, she just happened to be on this group conversation the first time that I'm using this app like in a proper way, and I'm lucky that she wanted someone who speaks English, and I'm lucky that she liked me, and I'm lucky that it's paid, and I feel so thankful and so grateful that this is happening, and I really hope it leads to more jobs like this, because I pitched like a very good fee, like what I feel confident asking for, and it was no problem. And she's been very only friendly and supportive and kind and funny and helpful. And the conversations we have on the phones are just laughing and planning everything out. And I can also involve our friend Tim, who's like the sweetest guy in the world. You might have heard him a couple of episodes ago. We had him on the show. And man, I got to tell you, I think that's the craziest thing in the world to start a conversation on an app for the very first time, and then within like 8 days, you're getting paid to interview one of the most popular bands in the world.
That's a super crazy.
That's
man.
That's crazy.
That's super crazy.
They're like an 8-time platinum album selling, four Grammy winning band.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's super crazy. But I'm so.
But you were saying like you're kind of jealous, right? Because you were a pretty big fan.
Yeah, I was a pretty big fan, but at some point, I don't know, with so many bands that where nobody dies or they split up because they hate each other, at some point you lose interest in what they release.
We're doing the streaming for their 8th studio album.
Okay. Yeah, like, but
that's a lot of records, man.
Like the first 4 were great. Like I really was a huge fan.
Yeah.
I still would say I am a huge fan, but I don't listen to them that often anymore. But yeah, that's awesome, man.
They had I remember that first one, Youth and Young Manhood.
Yeah.
Was a great one. I love that record. And then there's Aha Shake Heartbreak.
Oh, that was a great one.
That's a great one. 2004. Because of the Times. Mm-hmm. That was 2007. And then around Only by the Night, their sound changed a bit. And then I remember, like, I was getting into different kinds of music then, so I took a break. But it was like Only by the Night, Come Around Sundown, Mechanical Bull. And then, dude, in 2016, they released this record, Walls, which I think I haven't heard all the way through even, but it went to number 1 on Billboard.
Okay, crazy.
I mean, that's just wild.
I mean, the last thing I actively bought or listened to was Mechanical Bull and Come Around Sundown was the last album I really was into.
Yeah. I just can't believe they've been around so long, and they're family, you know, and they're from Nashville. I found out that their cousin, Matt, who plays the guitar, was actually born and raised in Mississippi. So maybe I have some cool things to ask if I get to talk to him. But
what are cool questions about Mississippi?
Who's your mama? You like cornbread? Well, how much sugar you like in your sweet tea? No, but maybe they know, I don't know, maybe they're from a similar area, maybe they know some people. I do know, this is kind of a cool fact, I do know that they have their own record label that they founded, and on their record label, they have a band on that label called The Weeks,
mm-hmm.
And I know The Weeks because I met them, because they live in Nashville as well. And my friend Tom, and for my mom listening, Thomas Sweat, he has his own band. It used to be called Lightbeam Rider, and now it's called Hard, H-A-R-D, which stands for Have a Rad Day. And they tour with The Weeks all the time. They're like best friends with them. So if I do get to meet, I hope everything comes through. I mean, it's confirmed, but you never know if something goes wrong, but if I get to meet them, I do want to ask if they know who Thomas is, if they've met him, because they've been on tour with The Weeks so many times. I mean, for years. So I wonder if they've met them, but that would be really cool if they know them. But did you know an interesting fact about them is that every single album title has 5 syllables?
No.
Youth and Young Manhood. Aha, Shake, Heartbreak. Because of the Times, Only by the Night, Come Around Sundown, Mechanical Bull, Walls is We Are Like Love Songs, and When You See Yourself is the new one coming out March 5th.
Crazy.
Yeah, man. That's really wild. And I tried to investigate why, but I think it was like the first 3, I think, was a coincidence, and then maybe they just keep it rolling. But I had a theory that it's because the band has 4 members and it's named after their grandfather, Leon, who passed away. I have a theory, maybe it's like the 4 and the 1, but maybe that's just, maybe that's a little too conspiratorial for a Nashville rock band.
Probably.
But yeah, man, that's, I talked to Tim about that earlier today, and I talked to Lisa, and if anyone from Sony happens to hear this, thank you very much for bringing me into that, because it's a very cool job, and I hope I can do more. I hope you guys like it. I will, for the listeners of this show, as soon as I know about the links through Sony or through Kings of Leon about the album listening stream, and if you can get like a raffle ticket to be a part of it or however it works, then obviously I'll post about that on the Artsy Fartsy Immigrants channel. But basically the day that this comes out on Thursday, I'm going to be interviewing them. So I'm pretty excited about that.
It's this week already.
Yeah, they're doing everything pretty fast. So the album, it's not like some unannounced thing. The album comes out March 5th.
Okay.
And the album listening is March 4th. And they want to interview the band this Thursday. So today for those listening on the 25th. And then we record everything on March 4th. So they have like a live, like we do a roundtable conversation, then we do a stream of the new album, and then we're going to play the interview.
Oh, okay.
And then on March 5th, the album comes out.
That's cool.
So we're going to meet some real diehard Kings of Leon fans, man.
That's crazy. I wonder how many are there even?
I'm curious how many people are going to be a part of it. I wonder if I'm even going to see them. I wonder if it'll be like a Zoom thing, or if it's going to be like Clubhouse where you just have the picture icons. Or maybe we don't see anybody. I mean, you've done more live streams than I have. So maybe you're just talking and then you just know that people are there.
You see a number, yeah.
Maybe. Another cool thing. So I don't know if we haven't talked in a little while because you've been really busy and we didn't have the show last week. But I had a cool interaction on this Sunday. So I have this show on Ego FM and it comes on every Sunday from 10 to 1. And I said something on the show on Sunday. I don't know if you heard that part where I talked about, there was some segment where I mentioned that I had always had like some body image issues.
Yeah.
Did you hear that part? Okay. So I talked about this a little bit, and this person wrote in to me on Instagram, and she was very kind, and she said, great show. I love listening to it. As an author of a book called Size Egal, which is kind of a joke on like Size Egal, right?
Size Egal.
I love your thoughts on how you always dealt with your body image. It's so important to stress that this is a thing men also deal with. Thank you so much. Maybe we could do a little Insta talk about it if you have time. So I thought, okay, maybe this is just a person who, I realized, okay, she wrote a book. Maybe she's like a journalist or something. And then I looked into her page, and she's a journalist and a moderator, but in German it's Moderatorin. She's an author at Ringelstetter. Do you know Ringelstetter?
Yeah.
She's an author there, I guess, with or for this guy, Ringelstetter?
Yeah, Hannes Ringelstetter, Bavarian moderator / comedian, and Ringelstetter is a kind of a Bavarian approach to a late night show.
Okay, what's your opinion on what he does and everything?
I don't watch it regularly. I've seen some cool interviews and some cool snippets, but I don't have a real opinion because I really don't see that much of it.
Okay, because I don't know too much about.
But I know that
him. I just
that,
heard
that he has quite a big audience. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. But yeah, she like long story short, she was just this very nice lady who heard this piece on the radio and then she wrote in, and maybe next week we'll do a live Instagram chat about it, which I can also put on our social when that's confirmed. But man, a lot of cool announcements this week.
That's awesome, buddy.
And my cousin Trisha just gave birth to twins.
Congratulations,
so,
Trisha.
I want to say, let me look at her name at the baby's names one more time, because I just want to congratulate her since I have the chance here. The baby's names are Charlotte Quinn / my mom might get mad because I forgot her husband's last name, but her maiden name is Slack. Charlotte Quinn / and Harper Elise. Isn't that so nice?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte Quinn sounds like a really cool detective.
yeah, kind
of. This is Charlotte Quinn, and I'm on the case. That's so cool. Charlotte Quinn, yeah. To solve crime is my, it's what I was born to do. And I was only born yesterday.
True.
But yeah, that's crazy. Got twins in the fam, and a lot of cool A lot of cool jobs. It's been a good month, man. I'm really happy with it.
That's so nice, buddy. I'm very, very happy for you.
You have to go soon, right?
Looking forward to many more great things to come. And because I kind of have to call it here, I'm also really looking forward to us bringing the artsy fartsy guest back next week.
Yes. So next week we drop on, let me see here, on the 4th. Yes. On March 4th. So make sure to come back for that episode because we have our second guest of 2021, a very funny English comedian, actress, and musician named Emma Holmes is going to be with us. And we really hope that you can be there for that. We're going to figure out, I think I have to talk to you after a little bit about the schedule, but it's all going to be good. So make sure you come back for that. And so, Mo, this was a pleasure, and I really missed you last week, so I'm really glad that we had another chance to catch up with what's been going on with you.
Yes, sir. Super nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, buddy. Okay, so as always, if you support this show, if you like this show, if you enjoy what you hear, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a nice rating or review or comment. It really helps new listeners find this show, and it really helps us out a lot. It's free to do. It just takes a minute, so please help us out and give us a little review on Apple Podcasts, even if you listen to it on Spotify. It's just crazy how much that helps on all the platforms. It's just a very algorithmic thing, so please go ahead and do that. And if you'd like to support the show financially and start getting some maybe inside early access to live streaming that we're going to do, and video podcasts that we're going to do. If we have tickets for things, hopefully in the future, then you can also get first dibs on that. You can go to patreon.com/JordanPrince. And if you or someone you know is an artsy fartsy immigrant and you would like to write us a comment or a question or even try to get in as a guest, try to get in as a guest sounds like we have a full stock of guests. If you would like to tell us that you're eligible, if you like, hi, I'm a guest. Okay, you're a guest. If you'd like to write in, hit us up on Instagram at artsyfartsyimmigrants. Give us a follow on there and send us a DM. And as always, Mo, what else can they do to give us some, to reach out to us?
You can send an email to podcast@m945.de.
Deutschland. It's a Deutschland. Beautiful. All right, Mo, this was a great conversation, and I'm really glad at all the twists and turns it took. It was very, very cool to just catch up in a casual way, and it's a funny thing, too, because I'm in that vibe right now where I feel like we could talk for like 2.5 hours. Yeah. It's a shame that we have to cut it a bit short. Sorry, I also had to start a bit late.
Easy, easy.
But you're the man. I love you. You're a real talent. You're a gem, and give all my best to you and yours. And all right, guys, stay tuned for next week. Second guest of 2021. We love you and thank you for listening.
Bye bye.
Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.